Okay. Good morning. We're gonna talk something not our usual, something different, about a question that came up before and over Pesach, and that was it turns out that there's a number of distributors for beer and certain other alcoholic beverages on the East Coast. There's a three-tiered system for how alcohol is distributed in many states, and that is three-tiered means there's a manufacturer, there's a distributor, and then there's a retailer, and so then those three are not the same. They're not the same person, and the distributor in a number of places is a Jewish person, which is to say is when you're a distributor, the way it works in that industry is when you're the distributor for, we'll pick a brand, Coors, if you're a distributor for Coors in Cook County or in New York, if you call it in Rockin County, then you're the only person who sells it in that area. Anybody who sells Coors in Cook County or in Rockin County, that person is buying it from you. Which is to say is, so now we have a potential question of how much of Lava Pesach, which is to say is, Chazal asked any, if a Yid owns Chametz Lava Pesach, Chazal asked that Chametz forever. And the question is whether, if a Yid owns it, Yid owns, was the distributor, and he owned, had a certain amount of stock over Pesach, whether that Chametz should be, Okay, that's the question to talk about. There's a whole to-do happened about it. It's been going on in the East Coast for a couple of years, but particularly this year, in a particular way that it happened, there was an extra attention paid to that thing. Okay, so just first, before I talk about the issue that came up with this person, I'm going to pause for a second, just to step on the side and talk about Chametz Lava Pesach. As I mentioned, it's an Issur Rabbanan, Chametz Lava Pesach. Why did Chazal ask for Chametz Lava Pesach? They asked it because they wanted to punish somebody. They wanted to make or encourage people to do the right thing. It's hard to get rid of your chametz. Since it's hard to get rid of your chametz, people would want to hold on to it. They maybe wouldn't eat it on Pesach, but they want to hold on to it. So Chazal said, well, ask for your chametz unless you get rid of it. And that's a big incentive for people to do the right thing, to get rid of their chametz. Until not so long ago, the idea that people would avoid the Issur of Bal Yirah by selling the chametz, that was not a typical way of dealing things. The makar that you could do such a thing to sell your chametz to avoid Bal Yirah is a tesefta. Tesefta says it in a situation where a person was on a boat and it was Erev Pesach and he realized he had chametz back at home, so there's nothing he could do about the chametz that he had back at home, so he couldn't get to it to do regular traditional beer on it. So what could he do? So he sold it to a guy. Okay, that's the kind of situation that it was used for when the person was stuck. It later, when Yidden got into the business of whiskey and things like that, which are chametz and which you have to hold for many years and it's worth a lot of money, so they started doing that more commonly. Those kind of people started doing mechiras chametz. But eventually, at this point, come on, everybody does mechiras chametz. They say, hey, why do I have to bother getting rid of my cookies? I can just sell them. Get rid of that. I'll avoid buying them by selling. Okay, and that was good news and bad news. Okay, the good news, of course, is makes it easy for people to avoid Bal Yirah. The bad news is that people have taken advantage of it. People, this is the exact people who Chazal wanted to punish or encourage by making it usher. Those people are saying is, that person wants to own a store, which is what we're going to talk about. He wants to run a business that sells chametz. He wants to not make his food usher. He says, no problem, I'll just sign the paper, go to the rabbi, sign a piece of paper, and you solved the whole problem. Okay, or in his mind, at least, he solved the whole problem. He avoided the whole potential, that punishment that's hanging over his head, which is the food's going to be usher forever, no problem, you just have to sign a piece of paper, and you just keep running your business as usual. Okay, so people took that thing that's really like, so to speak, for a shas atchad, and they use it not only to help themselves, that if I personally want to keep my box of Cheerios, but also to run a business and deal with chametz the whole Pesach in the way Chazal specifically did not want you to. Okay.
Is this a hashkafic issue that it's just not within what the Rosh and the Torah really wants? It's like a loophole, a refining, or is this something? Are we saying that somebody is really a halachic problem over here?
No, I'm talking hashkafa. I'm saying it like this. When Chazal made the issue of Chametz Lava Pesach, they were trying to stop exactly those people. If they would have realized that a guy could get around that by making chametz by making mechilas chametz just by signing a piece of paper, and therefore get around the whole thing. Would they have extended the risk? Maybe they would have. We're not going to extend it. We can't. Just what we could imagine. That's exactly the person who they were trying to get. That was exactly the guy who they weren't trying to get. Me and you. Me and you. They knew we didn't. If we weren't allowed to have chametz, we'd get rid of it. So for us, it's just we'd just be nice. We're taking advantage of mechilas chametz. Those people are taking advantage in an inappropriate way. They're taking advantage. We Chazal would have wanted to stop them. We can't.
No.
The guy's running a business, owning chametz, doing everything he wants. So this guy's running a business with chametz. That's exactly what Chazal didn't want.
That's for sure.
Right. Whether does it fit? He wants it. Does it technically? Can we find it? We'll talk about whether there's any technicalities of his. Did he do anything wrong? But in my point here, from the Hashkafa.
It's like Ramesh's Shabbos clock.
Here it's more. Here the Chazal made a specific takana for that person. That's exactly who they were after when they made this takana. This isser of chametz on the pesach was exactly for that kind of a person who would want to keep chametz and would not be strong enough to avoid to do the right thing. If you didn't have certain material, you'd get rid of your chametz. That's what you would do.
So he's doing it. He's getting rid of his chametz. He's getting rid of his
chametz. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's running a business, selling chametz on pesach.
But it's not his.
Okay. We'll continue on now. I'll just mention in passing. We're not going to talk about it. There's a shayla lechoinim whether that iser of chametz rov pesach applies to a person who's a mumer. Okay, it's a person. We have a person who doesn't pay any attention to what Chazal says. He completely ignores the dinim. So maybe in that case, there's no iser of chametz rov pesach. Why? If the iser is only to punish people and say, if you don't do the right thing, your food's going to be awesome forever. So maybe that doesn't mean anything. Maybe Chazal wouldn't have said that when they were talking about a person who doesn't get what they say. So you'll say it's awesome. That won't stop him. Won't make any difference if he's... What? There are those who talk about it. In the... One paper. In the Zechitzah, he says it's not true. Okay? There's a Zechorim who talk about it, who say that maybe it should be true. Maybe there's such a tzad that for a moment doesn't apply. From the angle of either, because I wouldn't have meant to ask that person, or the only person who's being punished by that, the only person who's being punished by your saying that it should be usher is me, the firm person. The guy who did the wrong thing, he couldn't care less, do whatever he wanted. Okay? But on the other hand, if you think about it in our situation, the whole idea may not be true. The whole thought that maybe a mummer shouldn't apply to is not true. I'm talking about a store, because there the firm customers won't come to the store. So there, the iser on his chametz rov pesach, Taka may encourage him to do the right thing. Not because he cares, not because he's a person who's going to go home and say, oh, if the rabbi said I shouldn't eat it, I won't eat it. Not because of that, but because, for business it's not good. When they put up a name that says, don't shop in this store, then that hurts him, and maybe that'll encourage him to do the right thing. So, kids out over here, what about? Okay, that's not really what we're here to talk about mainly. So let's go back to our beer company. Okay, the beer company, the beer, it seems, is a more complicated situation than other things, which is like this. If we had a regular distributor for chametz, okay, let's say someone who distributes cookies, okay, and that person is a Jewish person. So, he owned chametz over Pesach, and he did nothing about it, he owned chametz over Pesach, that chametz is usher. But for me, the consumer, it's very hard for me to put my finger on which is the chametz that he owned over Pesach. Which means is, I don't buy from the distributor, I buy from the supermarket. When I go to the supermarket, did that supermarket own these cookies before Pesach? Which case it's mutter. They didn't get it from the distributor. Did the distributor own it over Pesach? In which case it's asher, because it's chametz over Pesach. Or maybe the store got it from a shipment that the distributor himself got after Pesach, in which case it would be mutter. Okay, so for me, it's very hard for me to know whether the cookies that I'm looking at on the shelf, are they mutter or asher? How am I supposed to know? There's possibilities that the Yid owned it, the distributor owned it over Pesach, and the possibilities that he didn't, to the point that I might not be able to know anything, and I might be able to even say, Safet Rabban the Kulu. If this is a problem, I have no way of figuring out whether the cookies in front of me are the ones that the distributor had on Pesach or didn't have it. It could be my store had it before Pesach, or it could be the distributor got it after Pesach, or it could be the distributor had it on Pesach. Okay, so in a regular distributor, the question is a little bit minimized because it's hard to track it. But by the beer, things are more complicated for the following reason. It seems that the people who distribute beer hold the Erech 6 weeks worth of stock of the major brands that they hold. Okay, so I mentioned you'd be Coors before, it's a big brand. So the distributor is holding 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks worth of how much beer, of Coors, he needs to distribute. So if he distributes a million cases a week, it means he has 4, 5, 6 million cases sitting in his warehouse. Now, the stores, on the other hand, the supermarkets, the people who sell beer, those people have their 1 week's worth of stock. Okay? It seems, I know it sounds funny, but it seems that now that baseball season has started, they have even less than a week. They sell their beer faster. Okay? So they all have even less than a week's worth of beer. So that means to say it's like this. The day Pesach ends, if I walk into the supermarket, was this beer belong to the supermarket before Pesach? Not so likely. Okay, at this point, the beer is here. Remember, they hold a week's worth of stock. That means is what they have today, they probably got delivered on Pesach. Okay? What's the chances that this beer belonged at the distributor on Pesach? Very high. The distributor's got 4 to 6 weeks worth of stock. That means it's from Pesach till, I don't know, Lag BaOmer or close to Shavuos, it's pretty for sure that the beer that's in the supermarket came from the distributor. Okay? Remember, it's not, when we have a regular piece of food, we have spaghetti, the spaghetti, I have no idea whether the spaghetti was at the distributor on Pesach, or was by the manufacturer, or was by the store. I don't know who had it on Pesach. But by the beer, because just for the way the distribution business works, that they hold so much stuff, it makes the problem that much more complicated. It makes it harder to say there's a suffix when this came into the store, because there's just the way the business runs, it's very hard to say that. Okay. So a few years ago, in Baltimore, they realized that the distributor in their area was a Jewish family, and they helped this person make a mechira to sell his chametz. We'll talk about that in a second, whether that's good or not. But they also told their stores, the people who, or their caterers, the people who use beer, they told them, before Pesach, you need to stock up on beer. Think about how much you need for, I don't know how many weeks, 4, 6, 7 weeks, I don't know how many weeks they told them they have to stock up for. Stock up on beer from before Pesach, because we don't want you to buy any of the stuff on Pesach. Okay, that's, you need to stock up before Pesach. And that's what they did. So the stores are saying they all bought up enough how much they needed for this many weeks after Yom Tov, and then they didn't buy again until it was they could be confident that the stuff had passed through was not by the distributor. Okay. For some reason, nobody had paid attention to the distributor in the New York area. There's a big distributor in the New York area, and that person was Jewish. He's Jewish. His parents, if I understand correctly, his grandparents were Shomer Shabbos. He's a person who his parents lived through World War II, and he was born either here or in Europe right after World War II, and he's owned this company for a zillion years. I mean, he's like, where have you guys been until now? Like, you know, how come no one thought of this? Where have you guys been? You know, he speaks Yiddish. Anyhow, so where have you guys been? You know, but this person, there's this whole to do to get this person. They found out the person is a Jewish person. So there were two different approaches for how to deal with these people. Most of the people, I'm going to tell it to you in the way that the person says it. The person who in the end helped out with the Mechira, his name is Rabbi Weinfeld. He works for the OK. He's Lubavitcher Chassid. So he told me, he said Lubavitcher Rebbe has two different mitzvahs on Purim. Okay? One mitzvah is the mitzvah of Matanas Avyonim. One mitzvah is Mishloach Manos. So mitzvah matonis avyonim means is that you look at a person and he's not doing what he's supposed to, and you say to him, you're an Evyon. Do you know what happens to people who don't do mitzvahs? He says, you're going to burn. You're going to be punished. The Marshal's going to get you for not doing the right thing. You look at the guy and you say, matonis avyonim, look at you worthless person who does nothing. And if you keep acting like this, you know what your end is going to be if you keep acting like this. And then this Mishloach Manos Yisrael, he says to the person, you know, if you would do mitzvahs, you would become such a better person. You would be so fine. You know, and you talk to him on a positive sense. And of course, the Rebbe was encouraging people to do the Mishloach Manos version, rather than the Matanas Avyonim. So there were lots of people doing the Matanas Avyonim version. They said to the person, you should know if you don't tell your chametz, we're going to tell everybody not to buy from you. They even were talking about going to the manufacturers to say, manufacturers, you should know that your distributor is going to mess you up. Because of your distributor, we're not going to sell enough beer during Pesach. You should know that's what's going to happen. So they were coming from that side of it. And he decided, you know, I'm going to do the Mishloach Manos version. He literally did that. I'm not kidding. He called up his mother. His mother lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he asked her how he could bake kokosh cake. And he came to the guy's house with a kokosh cake. It's a whole story. Not for today, what he did. A whole story. He came with a kokosh cake that he made himself. His mother was very upset at him. Yeah, he told him, he said, please finish this before Pesach. But his mother was upset that he was eating kokosh cake so close to Pesach. And he went to the whole story, this guy, he's a very interesting person, any of you know him. But he went to bring him his kokosh cake, and he schmoozed with him, and he convinced him. And at the end, after they made the mechira, as you probably heard by now, the end of the mechira, he got him put on tefillin. It was his first time in 57 years since his bar mitzvah. He became very good friends with this guy, etc. Okay. So that's what they did. They made a mechira tefillin before Pesach. They did a mechira, and everything was wonderful. They thought everything was wonderful. Came, when Pesach ended, or as Pesach was ending, other people put out notices that said, you guys think that you heard that this Jewish person owns a company, you think that they sold their chametz, don't buy their beer. Okay, don't buy. Instead, you should buy these other brands that distribute themselves or don't use him. Okay, so let's talk about some of the shilas that there were, about whether you should buy the beer, or you could buy it, or you couldn't. Okay, so the first is, someone suggested, maybe beer is not a chametz lov pesach. Maybe the beer, and he had two reasons why beer shouldn't be considered a chametz lov pesach. Okay, the first is, he said, is the Mishmur talks about whether if a person has something that just has the tam of chametz in it, whether that's fiber, whether that's chametz lov pesach. Well, what's the question? The question is that in order to be chametz lov pesach, it has to be your erev bar yirah. So he says, maybe not erev bar yirah, just for the tam of chametz, and then you could be makel that the chametz should be mutter if the pesach. Okay, that's what someone suggested. Okay, so it's not correct. It's not correct. In fact, it turns out. The Mishnah, in the third paragraph of Pesachim, is the Mishnah. The paragraph is called El Ervim. Okay, it's called El Ervim because El Ervim. These are the things that if you have them, you're Ervim Bal Yirah for having them. Okay, El Ervim to Pesach. Okay, it's put in Simchat Torah days. And one of the cases in that Mishnah, the Mishnah lists a bunch of things that you're Ervim Bal Yirah for having, and one of them is Sheikhar Ramadi. Okay, that's beer. Okay, that's our beer, Sheikhar Ramadi. Sheikhar, regular Sheikhar is what we've been talking about in our regular show. That's made out of dates. But Sheikh Hamadim means it's made out of barley. It's one of the things Mamash and Mishnah, Eil Erev Pesach, the Erev Ba'yirah, is if you have Sheikh Hamadi. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's true, that Mishnah is true, even if you don't hold the Tam Kikr. He says, because it's Mamash the Chametz itself, it's the thing itself is mixed into it. It's not so clear if that's true, because when you make beer, you take out the barley at the end. You know, the barley, you make the beer from it, but the barley itself gets pulled out at the end. He says, nah, that doesn't count. Really, the beer is mamash in there. He connects it to a Gemara. The Gemara says in Chulin, if a person takes himcheu v'gamoy, if you liquefy chametz and then you drink it, the Gemara brings a pasuk that you're over eating chametz on Pesach. If you liquefy chametz and you drink it, so he says, this is an example of that. Again, it's not so clear because over here the actual barley got taken out. But it's a Mishnah, that's Oscar. Okay. That's one side of it. The other thing the person said is, wait a second. He says, the beer is only 5% alcohol. So beer is only 5%. There's another din. You're only over, it's only chametz over Pesach if you're over a Bal Yirah, and that requires that you have to have a kazayas of chametz in each, you have to have a kazayas of chametz in each, it will say, in each container. Okay, well, maybe in each bottle of beer, if it's only 5% of chametz, maybe 5% of chametz is not going to be a kazayas in each bottle. If it's not a kazayas, then you did the wrong thing to have it. What do you say? So the first, of course, the mistake was, of course, 5% is the 5% of the alcohol. Okay, 5% of the alcohol is not the beer, not the barley in it. Okay, that's, of course, that's a mistake. But it turns out, Rabbi Nias helped me in getting some formulations for beers. And it turns out that the person's argument was, he says, well, it's a lot of water, which is true. There's a lot of water in there. Okay, so it turns out that if you look through the formulations, it turns out that the formulas for beer are in a bottle, a 12-ounce can. The 12-ounce can, if we were to divide it between how much was barley and how much was water at the beginning, it comes out to between 2 and 3 ounces of that are barley. And the other rest of the number, 9 or 10, would have been water, and it's in the original mix. Okay, so, and that, of course, is...
They take out the barley.
No, we're trying to look, is this mixture, the first question was they take out the barley, I just put that on the side, check on the assumption. Now the question is, but maybe the original mixture was such that...
It extracts stuff from the barley.
The barley sits there, ferments into
and
beer.
It liquefies?
It's always great. Well, and then they take out the psalms. They take out the pieces at the end.
Take out the
psalms
and then they do calculations?
Take out, uncount that psalm. I'm not sure if we can do that, because what's the liquid that we have? The liquid that we have is...
It's going to be that very... It's going to be too little.
No, the liquid that we have. The liquid is stuff that came out of the barley, okay? So that counts as its full amount. It is what it is. It's the fact that we pull the psalms out of instruments is not going to take away from them. If we do that, we come up with almost zero barley there. But it's not the truth, okay? It doesn't taste like water. There's something in there. It's like it has a tom to it.
Okay? That's not his argument is volumetrically not
having. I don't think you count like that. I think you count it by look at how much was in the original mixture. The original mixture was, in this case, comes out to one, you know, one part barley, five parts water.
So the pound of barley equals a pound of barley?
I would think so. I think that's correct. Okay? Okay. But the truth is that I think that whole argument is a mistake. And it's a mistake for the following reason. Okay? When we talk about when something is a tarubis and whether there's a kazayas and things like that, that makes sense when we would say there's chametz and there's heter, let's say, or there's iser and there's heter. We could talk about is there kazayas in this bottle or is there not a kazayas? Okay? I made ketchup. The ketchup has vinegar and 10 other ingredients. So if the vinegar was the chametz, we say is there a kazayas in the package or is there not a kazayas? That's a reasonable question. Over here, it's not like that. The water is not heter. Okay? The water is chametz. Barley is not chametz. Barley and water is chametz. So it's not that there's barley, iser, and water that's heter. No. Barley and water together is iser. It's like by basar b'cholov, we say that there's chtichnasis nevelim mitaraisa, because the basar and the cholov, that's what the iser is. It's not that the basar is the iser and the cholov is heter, which say chanan on it. That the barley and the water is not iser and heter. It's iser and iser. It's them together is iser. I said this because we put barley and water together. Barley and water, there's no
red barley that became water. It's chametz. It's chametz. The water is not the chametz.
Well, that's what we have together. We now put barley and water together. Put barley and water together. And now what we have together, that's chametz. This thing is chametz. The thing is, it's like if I put basar and chol together, it's like
basar chametz. I agree. They're staying in the
table. The piece of bread is bigger than the volume of the flour. Because
this
is water in there. Is
it
chametz
or not chametz?
And what you're seeing in front of you is what was made by those two things together. That's what you have in front of you. Okay. I don't think that's correct. That's fine. But we can argue that. Okay. One last point on this piece is that there were those who said that this whole shaila doesn't apply. I'm just here to correct the mistake. This whole question doesn't apply to a certain beverage called Smirnoff Ice. Okay, it doesn't apply to Smirnoff Ice because Smirnoff Ice is not chametz. Okay, and there was a whole explanation for that. I'm going to tell you what it is in a second. And they said we heard information that this. And I said that didn't sound right because Smirnoff Ice is a malt beverage. Mamaz is a malt beverage. We've talked about it in our regular alcoholic beverage shiur. Malt beverage means they need beer. Basically, it's beer. But they don't put hops into it, okay? Malt beverage means it's beer without hops into it. In this case, they flavor it, so it's green apple ice, okay? But they flavor it with something else. They don't put hops into it, but basically it's beer. It's plain old beer. And they had said it based on mistaken information, and they said they're going to correct this next year, okay?
It's not vodka.
What?
Smirnoff Ice is not vodka.
That's correct. It's not vodka. I said it's beer. Smirnoff Ice is a malt beverage.
So why isn't it says a beer.
It is chametz. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. It was a mistake. Now, in other countries, Smirnoff Ice Taka is vodka, but in this country it's not, and maybe that's how they ended up with the mistake. They got the information from somebody, and it was a mistake. They're correcting it for next year. I'm just mentioning it now because people were told that it's okay, and it was really a mistake. Okay.
What
would it take for Kanaha Mechira? I didn't get the Mechira.
I'm saying why Sad Mashi Mutter, I never heard why it should be us yet.
I can about say that. Well, first, the time was, maybe they don't want to talk about it. Maybe it's not in the comments. Unless they were talking about apples. So we say, what's the shaila?
Was that only on beer? That was the only problem.
It's a distributor, no. Primarily of beer and certain, again, little other alcoholic beverages like Smirnoff Ice, like little things like that. But basically, it's a beer type thing. Okay. So, the question that most people talked about, which we'll spend just a minute on, there's not so much to say about it. Okay, the thing that most people talked about is, what happens if a person did Mechiras Chametz, like this person did, he sold his Chametz, but he continued to run his business like regular Pesach. Okay, If a person did Mechiras Chametz, and he ran his business like usual. Okay, the case that it came up with most prominently 50 years ago was there was a supermarket chain called Walbaum's, and Mrs. Julia Walbaum's was a Jewish lady, and she owned this chain, and she ran her business like regular on Pesach. Okay, but she did Mechiras Chametz. So the shaila was, are you allowed to buy chametz in that store after Pesach? Okay, so the question, and that question would relate to these distributors. The person, if he's a distributor and he does Mechiras Chametz, so does that person, is his chametz that he ran a business on Pesach, is that chametz, does his Mechiras Chametz do any good? He did Mechiras Chametz, he said, yeah, I sold my chametz. If I sold my chametz, then everything should be wonderful. He ran a business on Pesach. Okay, so there are different arguments as to why that should not be good. Okay, so the people who want to be Mekel, they come from, you're not the only one, but most famously from Rav Moshe. There's two Jews in Rav Moshe about this thing. And Rav Moshe says, if the person did a Mechira, he wants to avoid Isser as much as he can. That's why he did a Mechira. He wants to avoid Isser. The fact that he ran his business is just because he couldn't give up on the money that he was going to earn. But as much as he could, he wants to avoid Isser. And therefore, the Mechira, for the parts, the things that he has in his store, the Mechira works. The Mechira works. The fact that other parts, those he stole from the guy, but the Mechira that he did is a good Mechira and it works. So Rav Moshe says, but the things that he sold on Pesach, those were stolen from the guy, those are, of course, are usher. The things that he bought on Pesach, those are also usher. The things that he bought, those are not included in his Mechira. He bought them after he sold to the guy. So Rav Moshe says, those things are usher. But he says, but at least we saved a certain amount. The stuff that he had when Pesach started, that stuff is included in the Mechira. Okay? So the first thing is, those two caveats, the stuff that he sells on Pesach, the stuff that he buys on Pesach, is very good to us. Because in a supermarket, what they sell on Pesach, nobody cares about. What they sold on Pesach was someone who bought bread on Pesach. Obviously, we don't care about that. That person doesn't care about chametz on Pesach. But in our case, the stuff that they sell on Pesach was sold to my supermarket. What did the distributor sell on Pesach? He sold it to my supermarket. So the stuff that stuff from my says that for sure is us, sir. And the stuff that he bought on Pesach also was usher. So Rav Moshe is not going to help for a certain...
It's usher.
It's chametz on Pesach, because he stole
it. When he
gives it to the person...
When he stole from the guy, it's
right, so when he stole, it means it's mine, and I give it to you. So he made a temporary deal.
What can he then do to commit? So what's in the shelf? Big job, this gracious guy stole.
And
So we could
argue about that. Ramosha says that's us. We could argue about the technicalities of how it works and why it works. Ramosha says that stuff is us. But in the true Ramosha, it's not important.
They kept dying in restaurant and talking to old-fashioned stores. And he said, could you please give me the guy to yourself?
Somehow I doubt it. Everybody assumes he was talking about more balance. But okay, maybe. Ramosha says that. Now, in the case of Ramosha, it wasn't relevant. It wasn't relevant, the stuff that he sold on Pesach. It was like sort of like a minor point, because that stuff was a person who bought that stuff was eating bread on Pesach.
That wasn't the issue.
Right, he mentioned it in passing, but for us it is relevant, because by us, it's a distributor, it's not a supermarket. The distributor is selling it to my supermarket. Okay? But Rav Moshe also says that the stuff that he buys on Pesach is not included in the Mechira. How could it be included? How could it be included if he bought it after the Mechira happened? So Rav Moshe says that stuff is also awesome. Okay, so that's one part, which is to say the Mechirin would only help for some of his stuff. Okay, some is better than none. Okay, but another point is, there are many who disagree with him. Okay, many who said to Rav Moshe, who said, no, it's a joke, come on. While the rabbi is sitting at the Mechiras Chametz, while he's sitting there saying, God, you own all the chametz, the business is running like usual. I mean, how can anybody believe that this is real? How can anybody believe that you make a Mechiras Chametz, I sold a supermarket chain that's worth $1 zillion to the janitor in my shul? I mean, how can you believe that this is for real? Everybody could tell that this whole thing is a joke, okay? So there were a number of Achronim who disagreed with that. Contemporary people who disagreed with
it. I never heard them called Achronim.
What is it? The Maram Sheik is an Achron. Okay, Maram Sheik is an Achron, and some contemporary people who disagreed with it. They said, this whole thing, of course it's a joke, there's no such thing. Okay, and
they were making arrangements to give the shear to prophets.
I'm coming to that. And on top of that is that I've now heard from two different people who are closer to Maram Sheik, I can't tell you this on my own, but I heard this from two different people close to Rav Moshe that said, Rav Moshe only said this thing as a b'di'eved, and for people who are stuck, we're helping them out, we're doing them a benefit, but Rav Moshe said, it was not meant as a l'chatchila. Now, you don't get that impression from the Tshuva. Rav Moshe said, it was not meant as a l'chatchila, you should be able to buy this stuff. It was meant that helped people.
For both.
For both. It's for the person who's doing l'chira's chametz, you're helping him. So I guess it's an advantage to help him. But for the people to buy... Right, you're right. Because he's selling chametz at Pesach. Right. So, but I mean, it's helping him. It's his advantage. Rav Moshe says in the Tshuva, he says, don't give the guy a letter that he sold his chametz. He says, don't do that, because that'll encourage people to buy from him, which they shouldn't. But these two people who have said to me, two reputable people who said that Rav Moshe said it was only as a l'chatchila, only as a b'di'evet, it's not meant to be l'chatchila. So people say, well, if even Rav Moshe, who's the maker, said it's only as a b'di'evet, what do I need to buy this brand? I'll buy a different brand. What do I need to buy this for?
You didn't buy it for a guy. He owns chametz, the mitzvah. At home he owns chametz. He sold his store.
Yes.
The mitzvah is still worth money, every second of Pesach.
Yes.
So instead of having 2 pounds, you have to...
So Rav Moshe talks about that. Rav Moshe talks about in the Tshuva that it's his advantage to have less. Yes. The less he has, the better. It's not an all or nothing. It's not an all or nothing, either over or not over. A big part of the Tshuva is it's his advantage. Are we helping him by doing this with him? Okay. Okay, now...
If you says in the star that the mechir is going to include even things which he purchases on Pesach.
So that's a shy we talked about once before, not for today, whether it's physically possible to do such a thing. Is it possible to make a mechir? We talked about that once before. I'm not going to repeat that. It's a whole to-do whether that's possible. Is that physically possible to do that? And even if it's physically possible, meaning even if it's choshimish possible, does that avoid Bal Yiro? The way the technicalities of it happen is that when it eventually comes into my rishus, it bounces through my rishus for a second. Does it bounce through me when it eventually shows up at my supermarket, in which case it's how much shovel in your hand. Right. Okay, so that was a different part. Okay, so now the last thing you have to talk about is like this. The people, in this case, try to avoid this problem, try to solve the problem by saying, we're not going to do a traditional mechira summons. We're going to do a better mechira. We're going to sell the whole company. We're going to make it that it's not just that he sold the chametz in his warehouse. The whole company's going to boom to somebody else. And if the whole company booms to somebody else, well, then we won't care if he buys and sells stuff on the Pesach, because whatever he's buying and selling, the whole lock, stock, and barrel, the whole company belongs to somebody else. So we don't have to worry about these problems. It maybe doesn't look so serious, but the problems of him buying and selling on Pesach is to be solved by selling the whole company. Okay? So that's what they came up with. They said, let's do like that. Okay? So... in fact, part of the owner's apprehension about selling his company was, he said, legally, we've heard this before, legally I can't sell my company to just a regular person. I have to sell it to someone who has a special license who's allowed to own a beer distribution company. Okay, so they solved that problem by finding one of the people in his company who has a license. They said, okay, well, you'll sell it to Schmerl or to John or whatever his name was. He should be the guy to buy the phone.
Schmerl was his last name. John
Schmerl.
Is it enough?
Well, you sell the whole company.
I'm saying that
some
is that they just
invested
instead of being
you. I don't know the legalities of it, but he said I can't do that to a person who's not licensed. Okay, so they found the guy. That's correct. So they now all this was happening a few days before Pesach, and it all happened. It was all got more serious between the time that the kakar shake was delivered and the next morning when the guy was in his office. Okay, so they were sort of like stuck here in a very tight situation. So what they did was they were scrambling to get some things that they needed, and they at a certain point it found its way to Rabbi Reese. Okay, now not to Rabbi Reese directly, but Rabbi Reese is not responsible for what I'm about to say. Okay. It found its way to Rabbi Reese. They said, Rabbi Reese, you once did a mechira like this. Hey, can you help us with it, giving us a shahr? Rabbi Reese says, listen here, I'm not doing the mechira. I have nothing to do. I don't know who you are. I'm not anywhere near you. But here's some paperwork and some instructions. Okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you two shahrs and instructions of what you're supposed to do. Because I've done this beforehand. You've never did. And I'm going to give you some instructions of what I want you to do.
So okay. This mechira, therefore, the brown mechira is a valid mechira.
We'll talk about that. Just give me a second. I can take it. So he says, I'm going to give you this.
If it's been done before, it's possibly.
Okay. So he says, I'll give you all the information that you need, and then if you want to do it, you can do it. You can, but I can't help you really because I mean I'm here and you are there, and then I can't help you. But this is what I would do. Okay. So Reverend Reese, he showed me what he sent them, and everything was very clear and very laid out very nicely what they're supposed to do. Okay, but the we'll say you know it was broken telephone. We'll be nice and say that's what happened, and a lot of the details never made their way to where they're supposed to be. Okay, never will follow through in the way they were supposed to. So now the first thing to say is this idea that you could sell the whole company, which I said would avoid the problem of chametz that they bought and sold on Pesach. It would avoid that problem. But there are many people who say, just like we don't like selling the mechira's chametz when the guy runs his business, we even more don't like when he sells his whole company. When you think about it, the seriousness, is it really serious that a guy is selling his whole company for Pesach? Is that really serious? So there are people who argued it's even worse than Waldown. It's even worse than a person who does mechira's chametz just for his chametz, because after all, Waldown's business is to sell chametz. That's their business. So if you want to buy it off of them, if you want to walk in and say, I'm buying the whole thing at fair market price, okay, that's fine. That's their business. At least within reason that they would sell it. To see, I'm selling off the whole business itself, not just the stock, not just the produce, but the business itself, it seems harder to believe that it's really happening. The argument against that is, well, the person doesn't learn from Bayura. To avoid Bayura, he would be willing to sell his business. So that's an argument against
that. When you sell a business, it's very common for nothing to change.
What do you mean for nothing to change?
I mean that when a new owner takes over a business, they won't change anything right away.
Except I guess the profit is not the first guy.
Okay. And therefore what?
So we're saying the fact that if you're doing business as usual, so that's not...
Doesn't look strange. You think this is right. I mean, there's actually a store that right now is being sold, right? And we talked, it didn't stay the same, right? We saw, you know, the shelves got all cleared off, right? But fine.
It's running the same.
It's running the same, yes. There's nothing to buy.
Nursing home owners who sell their nursing home for Yom Kippur Shabbos, is any different than that?
When a person does a mechira, like a Shabbos mechira, they make a partnership. They make a partnership between them and someone who's not Jewish. So the business runs the way it's supposed to. But they sat down, they make a formal arrangement that I own it this day and you own it this day. You know what I mean? So it seems more, there's an argument that looks more real than this, which is it true? Do you think he really just sold his business for $1?
Why did they do a partnership here?
What?
Why did they do a partnership?
So it could be done. It's possible to. When there is a partnership, when the owners are really partners, they get in the guy, that there's some places that the seriously gives a gospel to, that there's partners, we say partner A, the Yid, sell out to partner B for Pesach. Okay, that's much more acceptable, reasonable. I own 40%, you own 60%, so I might sell you my shares, or I might, those, that's not so unusual. Okay, but there are those who argue that selling the whole company is worse than selling to do just a traditional Mechiras Hametz, because it looks even more than Chuchut Lu. Okay, maybe yes and maybe not. But that's its own, that would have been its own question. But the problem was that over here was that in the shtar that Rabbi Reis prepared that says we're going to do selling the whole company, we sell the whole company, Rabbi Reis said, we're also going to do Mechiras Chametz. Okay? And there were reasons why we have to do that. And actually, we have to do Mechiras Chametz first. Do the Mechiras, what I call Mechiras Chametz, the traditional Mechiras Chametz, and then afterwards sell the rest of the company. Okay? That didn't happen. Okay? Whether the kinyanim happened the way they were supposed to was not at all clear. The right kinyanim happened. Maybe yes and maybe not. Okay? But then, one of the important things that Rabbi Reis has in the Mechira is that you want to show that this thing, which looks a little fishy, is actually sincere. You want to show that we really mean it when we're selling the company to this person who's not Jewish, that we mean it for real. And to do that, there's two ways that Rabbi Reis does that, to make sure that it looks for real. The first is, the former owner, the Jew, doesn't participate in the business for the whole Pesach. Okay, Rabbi says they even know the person. He has to tell them his plans of where he's going to be Pesach, which is, I'm really selling my business for Pesach, and I'm out of here. Okay, I'm on vacation. Okay, I'm out of here. Okay, and the second side is that after Pesach, the mechuyev to make an accounting for how much money was earned over Pesach. It said this in the shtar, but how much you have to make an accounting. And then when they're finished making that accounting, they come back to the CRC and say, CRC, this is the cheshbon we came up with. They earned this much money over Pesach, this much profit, this much expenses, and this much revenue. And here's the check we're giving to the person who is the owner over Pesach. Here's the check for how many dollars of how much he earned because he owned this company. Okay, all of that lends to the credibility of the person really selling his company. He really sold it. Whatever the share is, whatever the...
What's a lot of money. The check was
right. No, So the guy pays. The person pays, right?
He pays.
So he pays him
afterwards. He pays the deposit. If he comes through with the rest of the money, then he'll make
their reckoning. No. He can't be. That's another problem. He can't say if he comes through with the money. when you do Mechiras Chametz in the traditional way, you say, let's say you say all the Chametz in Chicago is worth $1 million. Okay, let's say that's how much it was worth. So the guy owes that much money. When Pesach is over, we say, okay, now we want to buy back from you. We'll buy back for $1 million also. So there's an even exchange. He owes us $1 million to buy it. We owe him $1 million to buy it back. We call it quits and it's even. But when you buy a business for a week, you bought the business for all of a week. You owe me money for that week's worth.
He has to pay for it.
The buyer has to pay for it.
The seller
is not offering anything back when Pesach is over. So, he has to really make a profit.
What happens to the profit of the business between the week?
He never ends up giving you the money.
Wait, if he doesn't give you the money,
no, but you want to buy the business back again. You owe him the million. You want to buy the business back.
You give him $20.
Yeah.
And I owe you the rest of $1 million minus 20. And if you don't give it, and he has to give it. But at the end of the day, he doesn't want to give it because he doesn't have it.
So let me rephrase what you said. There are some people who make this type of mechanism, they say, yes, this is the purchase price. And this is the purchase price. And at the end of Pesach, I have to make you a cheshbon on how much profits we earned. Because it's so complicated to make the cheshbon, it's so complicated, what we're going to do is we're going to assume that the profits were X amount. And what they do is they make the profits be, I'll give a number, $1,000 more than how much the sale price was. And then, at the end of Pesach, the Jew gives the non-Jew $1,000. Saying, you bought the company for $1 million, the profits were, we'll make a cheshbon as $1 million and $1,000, and therefore I'm giving you $1,000 back. But at least he's giving something for his profits. But if he says, we're not going to make a cheshbon, you're not going to give me the money.
When you come through with the money, we'll sit down and make the cheshbon.
No, but if he doesn't come through with the money, we have a different problem. If he doesn't come through with the money, then he never bought it.
So that was a question
I spoke to him recently. Okay? I'll say that up in the air at this point, which is, if I say I'm going to buy your business for $1 million, and then I don't give you the $1 million, is the mechira gone? Was it tonight? I'm buying the business if I'm going to give you the money. If I never show up with the money, maybe I didn't buy it. Maybe that mabatul the mechira. I said, I'm going to buy it for this.
And it ends up being basically a joke because nobody takes it seriously. Everyone stipulates up front the whole thing is going to be a wash and the money's going to the best hands, and it just doesn't seem serious.
Okay.
That's why Shabbos, even, you know, the posting of you got to have, like, at least something, you know, that the person's going to get for, you know, like, unit of work that they do. So, because Shabbos, the big issue is the fact that the Nafshiko, everything is try to get something out of it, you know. So here too, she gets something out of it to show that it's serious. So
right.
We just have a small purchase price for the business over the course of Pesach, and then whatever's made on Pesach, the guy who bought it is going to keep the money. They have to actually show us a copy of the check.
Right, and he actually makes sure he gets something. Okay, so then there were like little things, just the way the star was filled out wasn't done as meticulously as it should be. That's how I'll say it. So what it is is that there were serious questions about how naniach that you can either sell a chametz or you could sell a company and therefore avoid the issue. Again, not everybody agreed to. Those who put out the letter said, we just don't agree with that whole Shuvah Ramosha Opel. We just don't buy that you could sell chametz or even sell a company and therefore avoid by your own when the guy runs his business like regular. But even if there's such a thing, there's a way to do it, or at least the way Rabbi Reis would want it to be done. And it wasn't clear that it was done actually even to meet that standard, to say we actually did that.
I heard different people talk about it. They said there's a Belzer diet that was involved.
Rabbi Eksim was involved. It's not clear to me. I didn't speak to Rabbi Eksim. It's not clear to me how he was involved. The reason why I say it's not clear is because I was told that he was involved in the shtar, but in end, they used the shtar from Rabbi Reis. So I don't know what his involvement was. What I mean is, and it wasn't, it didn't go through with the way Rabbi Reis said, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. He sent a long list of instructions, and that didn't exactly happen the way it was supposed to. So it is.
Are you talking about only 2 weeks of concern?
No, you missed that part. No, 4 or 5 weeks of concern.
That's what I'm saying. But there's 1 week where it's the stuff that
you missed it. You missed it. I took that view. So it's 4 or 5. They hold many weeks worth of stock.
I know, but I'm saying there's 1 week when it's the gezel, right?
Yes.
And then there's another week, 5 weeks later, of the stuff that they bought on Pesach.
If you hold that Mechiras Chametz and the company stays open, that's good enough.
So
If you agree to that,
the two problems that you're having.
If you agree to Ramosha, I said not everybody agrees to Ramosha. The people put up the letters don't agree to Ramosha. That was the first thing.
Right. But if you agree to Ramosha, there's only 2 weeks of concern.
If you agree to Ramosha, yes, that's good. There's a floating 2 weeks out there that are of concern.
First week.
If you agree to Ramosha and you did Mechiras Chametz.
Okay, now I'm saying if they did this Mechiras Chametz.
No, if they did Mechiras Chametz, right? If they would have done Mechiras Chametz and they would have.
They sold the company.
Right. Okay, let's stop it.